From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The U.S. Supreme Court today threw out the death sentence in a Texas case. It's a case that a former FBI director once called a prime example of the kind of error-filled trial that had undermined public confidence in the death penalty. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg was at the court today.
A year ago, Delma Banks, after 23 years on death row, came within 10 minutes of execution. Today, the Supreme Court, by a 7-2 vote, invalidated Banks' death sentence and strongly suggested he deserved a new trial because prosecutors had for 19 years concealed exculpatory evidence. In a scalding opinion for the majority, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg pointed to the state's argument in the High Court just months ago that, quote, the prosecution can lie and conceal, and the prisoner still has the burden to discover the evidence. Said Ginsburg, a rule declaring prosecutors may hide, defendants must seek, is not tenable in our system. She noted that at Banks' trial, prosecutors kept quiet while two of their key witnesses gave false testimony on the witness stand, and that prosecutors continued for 19 years to hide evidence of perjury for round after round of court appeal. Indeed, when the evidence was finally uncovered, the state did not contest it. Instead, it took the position that the evidence would not have changed the outcome of the trial and that anyway it was too late in the process to contest either the verdict or the death sentence. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed, but today the Supreme Court, in the sternest of language, rejected that view. When police and prosecutors conceal significant exculpatory material, said the court, it is incumbent on the state to set the record straight. Delma Banks was convicted of the brutal murder of a 16-year-old boy and continues to maintain his innocence. Larry Whitehead, whose son was murdered, continues to be convinced of Banks' guilt and was deeply saddened by today's Supreme Court decision.
Well, it's pretty disheartening. After fighting this thing for 23 years, we're just kind of numb.
A spokesman for the state attorney general's office had no comment except to say that the state of Texas would abide by the decision. The Delma Banks case has become something of a cause célèbre. A former FBI director and former prosecutors filed a brief in the Supreme Court contending that the Banks case was a prime example of how the current capital sentencing system fails to correct errors. Seth Waxman, who served as the government's chief advocate in the Supreme Court during the Clinton administration, said today he was heartened that the court had finally made prosecutors follow the rules in this case. What is worrisome, though, said Waxman, is that for years the Texas courts and the lower federal courts did not similarly insist that the rules be followed.
What's disturbing about these cases is that it required the Supreme Court of the United States to identify these profound errors for the first time.
George Kendall, who represented Banks in the Supreme Court, said that study after study has shown prosecutorial misconduct is a major reason for erroneous convictions.
The pressure to win these cases is great enough that in more of these cases than I would have ever thought, prosecutors will cross the line from behaving ethically to behaving unethically in order to win.
Hofstra Law Professor Leon Friedman, however, noted that in 1996, Congress revamped the rules for death penalty appeals, making it much harder to bring them. Banks, he says, was just plain lucky.
If this had been filed a month later or 2 months later, I don't think the court would have come to the conclusion that it did, because there are so many more barriers that were established in the law.
I think it's true that he would have had a harder case.
George Mason Law Professor Michael O'Neill was general counsel for the Senate Judiciary Committee when it drafted the new death penalty appeals law, but he thinks Banks would have prevailed in the end.
This is precisely the type of case that demonstrates that sometimes, despite all of the concern that we may have with the length of time it takes death penalty cases to wind their way through the criminal justice system, sometimes it's necessary. This seems to be, at least on its face, an obvious case of prosecutorial misconduct. It does not seem as though the prosecutors played fair.
Dissenting from today's ruling were Justices Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia. In addition to the Banks ruling today, the High Court issued another decision repudiating police conduct. The case involved a search conducted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in 1997. Based on a tip, ATF agent Jeff Groh applied for a warrant to search a Montana ranch for firearms. The application specified what he was looking for, but the warrant itself, prepared by Groh and signed by the magistrate, did not. When the ATF searched the ranch and found nothing, the ranchers sued Groh and the other officers for damages. A federal district court judge threw out the suit, but today the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the warrant was clearly deficient and that the officers could be held personally liable. Writing for the majority, Justice John Paul Stevens acknowledged that the court has not held officers liable when they act in good faith. But here, he said, any reasonable officer would know that a warrant has to state what the object of the search is and has to read the warrant he's presenting to the people whose property is being searched so that they can be assured that the officers are properly authorized. In this case, he said, the officers did not do what is minimally required and thus can be individually sued for damages. Harvard Law professor Bill Stuntz says the ruling is not likely to be difficult for police to comply with.
Even a pro-police Supreme Court likes to, once in a while, have a case where they can say, look, we have real standards and the police have to meet them. That's the kind of case this is.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.